This is Audible.
Podium Publishing presents Fort Covenant, Tales of the Seventh, Book 2, written by Mark Edelheit, performed by Stephen Brand. Chapter 1. What do you think? Steiger glanced over to Sergeant Tiro. The two men were crouched down behind a small stone wall. Steiger laid a hand on the moss-covered stone. Beyond the wall was a wide-open field, which had once been pastureland. A handful of rotten posts were all that was still visible of the fencing that had hemmed in the field of waist-high grass and weeds. The saplings scattered across the field were a sure sign that the forest to their backs desired nothing more than to reclaim the land it had lost. Tiro scratched his jaw, squinting his eyes as he surveyed the field. "We could just go around." "We could." Steiger turned his back to the field. The tree line on the opposite side was perhaps a mile away. "That would just eat up time, which, I might add, we likely don't have." "True," the sergeant said and took a deep breath. "I really don't feel like crossing out in the open like that, even if it does save us an hour or two. My recommendation would be to stick to the trees and work our way round careful-like. Safer, I think." "Still nervous about cavalry?" Steiger asked. "Do you really expect me to answer that?" The sergeant glanced behind him into the trees. The rest of 7th Company waited several yards back, mostly concealed by the undergrowth, which grew thick on the border of the field. Steiger followed the sergeant's gaze. The men, all 82 of them, had taken a knee to avoid inadvertently being spotted. After the hard pace and exertions of the last few hours, they were taking advantage of the unexpected halt. Corporal Varys was checking on each man, likely making sure they had not dipped into their haversacks for the last of their pre-cooked rations. Looking over the men, Steiger felt a sudden fondness for them. They were his men, and he was their lieutenant and commanding officer. After the recent action against the Riven, the 7th had suffered terribly. They were a shadow of their former strength, less than the equivalent of a light company. Steiger turned back to the grizzled old sergeant and gave him a wry grin. "I'm still nervous, too." "Then let's go round and be safe about it." Tiro gestured off to their left, swinging his arm about to demonstrate the movement around the field. "Those tracks we crossed on that trail a couple of hours back tell me enemy cavalry is active in the area." Steiger rubbed his jaw as he considered his options. Sweat freely ran down his forehead. The heat of the unusually late summer day was broiling them all, even in the shade of the trees. Steiger couldn't wait until the heat passed over to cold weather, but then he was sure he would long for the warmth of summer. He let out a long, slow breath. "We go around."
"Excellent decision, sir," Tiro said cheerfully. "I wholeheartedly approve."
"Right. Let's get back to the men." They worked their way back through the brush and deeper into the trees, careful to keep low. A few weary heads came up with knowing looks. The respite, however brief, was about to come to an end. Steiger caught the eye of Corporal Varys and gestured the man over. Varys was the last surviving corporal in the 7th. With only 82 men remaining to his command, Steiger had not thought to promote another. Steiger glanced around at his men. On direct orders from the general, he had led his company southeast into the wilderness. They were headed to an old backwater garrison in the Kor Atoll Valley, far east of the main routes north that led deep into Riven territory. Steiger rubbed his eyes. It was supposed to have been a quick and easy march out and back, taking 2 weeks at most.
"What's the word, sir?" Varys said.
The corporal carried his helmet under an arm. He mopped his brow with a small dirty wool rag, which he likely used to clean his kit. Varys's shield rested against a tree a couple of feet away, along with Steiger's, both still nestled comfortably in their canvas covers like the rest of the company's.
"We," Steiger said, "are going to skirt around the field and stick to the trees."
"No more encounters with cavalry," Tiro said firmly.
"Amen to that," Varys said.
Steiger pointed in the direction they would be going.
"Send one of our scouts forward. I want him to have a look ahead."
He glanced quickly around again at his tired men.
"We will give him a 5-minute head start."
"Yes, sir."
Varys stepped away, heading in the direction of Legionary Milus Bren, one of the company's best scouts. Bren was sitting speaking with several of the men
next to the trunk of a large tree to Steiger's left. Brennan had been a poacher before being caught and sentenced to the legions. A few minutes later, Varys was back, and the scout was clambering to his feet, gathering his kit.
"Let's get the men up," Steiger said. "Tiro, take the roll. Kindly make sure we are not missing anyone."
"Yes, sir."
Tiro and Varys began moving amongst the men, quietly passing out orders as Bren set off, disappearing into the trees. The men fell in, forming two loose lines. Tiro began taking roll, walking down the marching column and checking off names from a tattered pad with a charcoal pencil. Steiger waited patiently as the count was taken. Tiro returned to Steiger's side.
"All present and accounted for, Lieutenant."
"Thank you, Sergeant."
Tiro looked off into the woods, in the direction they had just come. He shifted his stance, and Steiger suspected the old veteran's thoughts were unsettled.
"What?" Steiger asked.
"Do you think they're still following us?"
Tiro asked, as the company formed up for march. Steiger nodded.
"I think so too," Tiro said. "Let's just hope we can make it to Cor Atoll before they catch up to us."
"If they do," Steiger said with a glance back into the woods, "we will fight."
"Might I make another recommendation, sir?"
Steiger nodded for the sergeant to continue.
"Next time," a hint of a smile appeared on Tiro's face, "it might not be a bad idea to scout the surrounding area before we decide to take out an isolated file of Riven infantry, even if they are distracted ransacking a farm."
Though Tiro had said it in jest, Steiger sensed a reproving look in the man's eyes. It had come as quite a surprise to discover an entire enemy company had been hiding nearby. The Seventh had been lucky to escape, but the cost had been a spirited pursuit over many miles. Steiger had hoped to give the enemy the slip, but so far, he had been unable to do so. Had they not been outnumbered, Steiger would have turned and offered battle.
"Next time," Steiger said, "how about giving such sage advice in advance?"
"Trust me," Tiro said. "I will endeavor to do so, sir."
"All set, sir,"
Varys said, approaching. Steiger looked over his men as he picked up his own shield and marching yoke. Settling the yoke and shield comfortably in one arm, he waved a hand forward, and the Seventh started moving, armor chinking. Steiger almost winced. They made one heck of a racket, though he recognized it was not as loud as his imagination made it. Sound carried poorly in the forest. He just hoped that none of the enemy were near enough to hear. The trees they marched under were tall hardwoods. They had an ancient feel, and every so often, Steiger found himself glancing upward. So high was the thick canopy of green that the undergrowth through which the company marched was nearly non-existent. The Seventh moved at a good pace, treading over soft beds of moss and last year's fall leaves, hobnailed sandals crunching with every step. Despite the heat, the smell of dampness and decay was sharp. Closer to the field, just a few yards away, the underbrush thickened considerably. Steiger reckoned that they were well screened from view as they skirted around the edge of the field. Periodically, he moved toward the brush line and surveyed the sunlit field. There had been no sign of the enemy. As Steiger marched with the men, he shifted his yoke back over to his shield arm and reached up to touch the puckered scar on his cheek. Though it had almost healed, the skin was still fresh and tender. Steiger found it an effort to refrain from scratching. The surgeon warned him if he gave in, the subsequent scratching could reopen the wound. Infection might set in. The traitorous Sergeant Getter had given him that little memento just moments before Steiger had killed him. In a way, the wound that marred his features was a parting gift, a reminder to be ever watchful. Steiger pulled his hand away from his face and shifted his yoke again. He did this more to keep his hands busy than anything else. He glanced around. Everything was in order. Steiger had taken to marching in the middle of the column. Tiro was at the head, Varys at the rear to make sure no one straggled and got left behind. The company made it almost all the way around the field when word was passed back for Steiger to come forward. The column ahead had not halted, so it wasn't something critical. Steiger increased his pace, sweating under the oppressive heat, and made his way to the front of the march.
"Sir," Tiro said when Steiger fell in alongside. "Brenn's returned."
Steiger saw the scout and motioned him over. Brenn saluted smartly as they continued to march,
the men of the company at their backs. "Report," Steiger returned the salute. "Sir," he said, and then pointed in the direction the company was marching. "There is a dirt road, deep with wagon ruts, about a quarter of a mile ahead. I saw fresh tracks, at least several files of men moving northward along the road. The tracks were no more than a day old."
"Riven, you think?"
The scout shrugged, as if to say he could not tell. Steiger felt himself frown. Not only were they being pursued, but there was a force of enemy cavalry roaming about, and now the possibility of more of the enemy somewhere in the direction of Kor Atoll, their objective.
"That sounds like the road we're looking for," Tiro said with an unhappy tone.
"It does," Steiger agreed, and reached into his cloak pocket, removing the small map that General Treem had given him. It was a simple camp copy made by a scribe. He held it up as they walked so that Tiro could see, and then touched the line that indicated the road they were looking for.
"If I'm correct, when we hit the road we should be about here."
"That seems right," Tiro nodded. "Looks to be around 10 miles to the Kor Atoll garrison then, with that village there in the middle."
"We could be at Kor Atoll within a few hours then," Steiger said.
"If we take the road."
Tiro shared a long look with Steiger.
"You are thinking we might blunder into an enemy formation?"
"It's very possible," Tiro said. "Who would have guessed that the enemy would be this far southeast?"
"If the general had known," Steiger said, "he would have sent at least a full company, perhaps more, and we'd be cooling our heels back in camp."
Steiger turned to the scout, who had been following their conversation. "Get on ahead to the road, and keep an eye out."
"Yes, sir."
The scout saluted and broke into a jog. In moments he was out of view, lost amongst the trees.
"There should be no enemy in these parts," Steiger said with some frustration. "They should be way up northwest and across the river where the legions are."
"And yet, here they are, sir," Tiro said.
Steiger was incredibly frustrated and kicked at a fallen branch as they walked.
"Feel better?" Tiro asked.
"A little."
"So what are we going to do? Take the road or stick to the forest?"
Steiger expelled a slow breath. He had been surprised at the strength of the enemy operating in this area. It was possible that the garrison at Kor Atoll was besieged. For all he knew, it might have even fallen. He glanced behind him at the marching column. His men had enough rations for at least one last meal. Then they would go hungry. To make matters worse, he was being pursued by at least a full company of enemy infantry.
Should he play it safe? Should he stick to the woods and take the longer route? Or should he take the risk and push right on to the garrison, hoping to make it before the enemy caught up with him?
Was the garrison still there?
Steiger shifted his yoke again and rubbed the back of his neck. These questions and more worried at him terribly. Worse, he was the one who had to make the ultimate decision. No one would make it for him.
"I'm thinking that we stick with what is working and play it safe," Steiger said finally.
"We stay to the woods, even if it takes us longer."
Chapter 2
"Down!" Tiro hissed, and shoved Steiger roughly into the dirt. Lying prone amidst the brush growing alongside the road, Steiger froze. He waited a moment, but heard nothing. He turned his head to Tiro, an eyebrow raised. Tiro held up a hand and showed 5 fingers twice, pointed 2 at his eyes, and then in the direction they had just come. Steiger nodded his understanding. There were at least 10 men coming up from behind them. Steiger glanced at Bren to Tiro's left, also prone. The scout slowly pulled out his short sword, never taking his eyes from the road. Steiger took the hint and drew steel as well. He looked over at Tiro, whose attention was also directed onto the road, mere feet away. Steiger scanned what he could of the road, but saw nothing. He strained his ears, listening. Birds happily chirped away, hunting for a good meal. A woodpecker hammered in spirited bouts at a tree somewhere off in the distance. Steiger heard nothing out of the ordinary. Then, it was an unmistakable sound. Steiger had heard it many times before, the tread of many sandaled feet. Steiger held his breath as a file of soldiers appeared, marching in the direction of Kor Atoll, all wearing the blue cloaks of the Riven. The Riven were heavy infantry, uniformly armed and armored with chainmail shirts small round shields, and short swords. Unlike Malzelan legionaries, the enemy wore long grey woolen tunics under their armour that extended down to their calves. In the heat, Steiger wondered how they managed to stay cool. Instead of being worn, helmets hung from their necks by ties. It was easier on the neck that way. Steiger, like Tiro and Bren, had left his back with the rest of the company. Infantry helmets tended to be a pain in the neck. The enemy file had prisoners, four Malzelan auxiliaries, all were likely from the garrison. Heads hanging, eyes on the ground, hands bound securely behind their backs, they plodded along miserably with their captors. All four looked like they had been given some rough treatment. Damn. Steiger held himself still until the enemy file had passed them by. Even then, he waited to make sure they were out of earshot. He pulled himself slowly up to his knees, scanning the road in both directions to look for any hint of movement. Tiro and Bren did the same. Steiger stood and brushed the dirt from his face, chest, legs, and finally his hands.
That was close, Tiro said in an ear whisper.
Too close. Steiger glanced up at the darkening sky. In another hour it would be dusk.
Bren, how far to Khor Atoll?
Less than a mile, sir, the scout replied. Just over that little ridge, the other side of which is the valley. The garrison's fort is set in the valley, next to the town.
And they've burned both?
Steiger could smell the faint trace of smoke on the air.
Yes, Bren confirmed. Perhaps the day before last.
Are you certain you want to continue, sir?
Tiro asked.
Yes, Steiger said. I need to see it.
Why, sir?
Tiro looked like he thought this a bad idea.
Khor Atoll's gone. There's no longer any point in continuing our mission.
I can't return without having laid eyes on our objective, Steiger explained. The general will want a detailed report, and he is likely to question me closely.
Tiro hesitated a moment.
Let's keep off the road, then. That's the second group we've nearly blundered into.
Agreed.
Steiger turned to Bren, sheathing his sword.
Lead the way.
Yes, sir,
Bren said, and set off. The scout quickly led them deeper into the forest, and farther away from the road. Steiger was impressed with Bren's ability to move near silently through the trees. Every so often, the scout stopped to listen, and Steiger did his best not to make any noise. Within 20 minutes, Steiger found himself prone again, this time peering through the brush down into the valley. Tiro was to his left, and Bren his right.
Well, Tiro said with a heavy breath, the garrison is most definitely gone. Can we go now?
Steiger said nothing as he studied the valley. He was sure it had once had a peaceful look to it, with a large town near the center. A stream meandered its way past. Neatly cultivated farm fields spread outward from the town, which was now nothing more than a smoldering wreck. Only the charred stumps of timber and stone foundations remained. Just beyond the town was the fort. Oddly, the wooden staked palisade still stood, yet the interior of the fort had burned.
I don't see any breaches in the fort's walls, Steiger said.
Looks like they just opened the gate and let the enemy in, Tiro pointed.
The gate stood open and seemed to show no evidence of being forced.
There may be something we can't see, Steiger said. We're over half a mile away.
Could be as you say, sir, Tiro said. But I've been through more than my fair share of sieges and assaults. There should be more damage if the enemy forced their way in.
Steiger nodded. Tiro's experience has served him well so far. Steiger had learned to listen to the old veteran's advice.
Look there, a lot of bodies just outside the town, sir, Bren said and pointed. In that field. Some spread out like they was running, others grouped about, probably executed. Townsfolk, I would hazard, sir.
Steiger looked, following Bren's finger. He sucked in a breath. Carrion birds circled the valley above the spot. More were grouped around those who had fallen, feeding hungrily. The sight sickened Steiger. It also angered him, for the large group of bodies seemed clustered too close together to be the remains of the fallen from a fight. They were, as Bren said, likely civilians from the town. Either they had been executed there, or their bodies had been dragged to that point and left to rot. Steiger leaned toward the former explanation, as it seemed too much effort to drag them, especially if you weren't going to bury or burn the bodies. He shifted his gaze beyond the town. A small camp had been erected away from the ruins on the other side. Steiger squinted to see better. He counted tents, 28 in total. A number of mules were tethered to stakes in neat rows next to the camp. There were also two horses, likely officers' mounts. Steiger counted 5 sentries slowly walking the boundaries of the camp. Unlike a legionary marching camp, there were no defensive structures, such as a wall. He chewed his lip as an idea occurred to him. He knew Tiro would not like it. "Looks like at least a full company's tents," Steiger said. "Maybe 200 men minimum," Tiro said. "But I don't see many of them down there, unless they're sleeping off the heat of the day, sir." "There was an auxiliary cohort stationed here." Steiger found his anger building. He slapped the ground. "I don't see how a single company could overwhelm the defenses of the fort. That's a solid-looking wall." "Must have been surprised, sir," Tiro said. "This valley is well away from the front lines. Command likely stationed a third-rate cohort here. I've seen it before. They got lazy and paid for it." "Perhaps." Steiger tapped his fingers on the ground as he thought it through aloud. "We don't know exactly how the fort fell. We've already crossed paths with at least 2 files of men, and each was hauling along prisoners. Is it possible the cohort was ambushed and broken outside of the valley? They could be out hunting down survivors." "That's a possibility," Tiro said. "Slaves fetch good money." "Well, whatever occurred, the general will not be happy about this," Steiger said. "We know that there are more Riven forces in the area. Counting the ones pursuing us, that makes at least 2 companies of heavy infantry and a contingent of cavalry. Seems an odd force to send so deep into enemy territory for the purposes of raiding." "How so?" Tiro looked over at Steiger. 2 companies of heavies and some cavalry is a pretty formidable force, sir." "Light infantry would be better suited for this kind of work," Steiger said. "With the legions up north pursuing the Riven army, it seems damn odd to send heavy infantry all the way down here just to raid. Besides, it's kind of out of the way, don't you think?" "I think," Tiro said slowly, "that I don't like them being here, sir, whether they be heavy or light infantry." Steiger chuckled softly. "We have to get word back that the enemy has sacked Cora Toll," Tiro said. "What is the nearest garrison?" "Cora Mal," Steiger said, 20 or so miles to the east. "We should warn them," Tiro said. "Our map doesn't go that far." Steiger rubbed his chin. They did not much like the idea of moving farther away from the Legion than they already were. "Traveling through the forest instead of the roads might see us lose our way." "We should warn them," Tiro said again. "We do that, and it takes us farther away from the third." "We need food, sir," Tiro pressed. "Cora Mal is the only option." "What if Cora Mal has been sacked as well?" Steiger turned back to studying the enemy camp, the idea growing into a plan of action. It had hit him moments before, but looking over the enemy's mule train solidified what he wanted to do. "As it is, the company is going nowhere."
"What do you mean, sir?"
"We're out of food," Steiger said. "Without it, we can't travel very far. If we move to Cora Mal, and that garrison is gone too, we will be in real trouble."
"I'm almost afraid to ask," Tiro's eyes narrowed. "What do you have in mind, sir?"
"I'm thinking," Steiger expelled the long breath, "that tonight we attack the enemy's camp."
"Are you serious, sir?"
"I am."
"Attack an entire company?"
Tiro rolled onto his side to better look at Steiger, an incredulous expression upon his face.
"Whatever for?"
Steiger returned the sergeant's look.
"We're out of food, and they have it. I intend to take what we need, including all those fine mules. Maybe even the horses if we can."
Steiger grinned at Tiro. "There is good money in that, too." Tiro blinked, but said nothing.
"Do you see any defenses down there? Or patrols, for that matter?" Steiger said.
Tiro turned and scanned the valley.
"No," Tiro said after a moment. "I only see their camp sentries. Bren, do you see anything out of the ordinary?"
"No, sergeant," Bren said. "I do not."
"Looks like they've gotten lazy," Tiro said. "Must be thinking they eliminated any threat for miles around. It is possible they've not yet gotten word from the company pursuing us that we're around."
"We've run into two files of men outside the valley," Steiger said. "Each file has taken prisoners. There may be more ranging farther afield. It could mean the company down there might be a few files light when we strike."
"I guess that is possible," Tiro said grudgingly. "I think we might be able to do it. That is, if we can silence those sentries without too much fuss first, and catch the rest sleeping. Varys, Bren, Aronis, and I have some experience handling such things, sir."
Tiro drew a slow finger across his throat to underscore the point.
"Later, when it's good and dark, we bring up the entire company, sneak up on their camp, silence their sentries, and attack. With luck, we will have the element of surprise on our side."
"What about the other Riven forces in the area?" Tiro squinted as he returned to studying the enemy camp.
"I would not want to be caught in the valley come dawn to find enemy reinforcements arriving, or that company that's been snapping at our heels showing up."
"We make tracks well before dawn, then," Steiger said. "We move south, and then dogleg it back west toward the third."
"What about getting word to Koramal?"
"I'm hesitant to take the entire company that way," Steiger said. "Better that we return and report. We can send one of our scouts."
Tira scratched an itch on his cheek, clearly considering Steiger's proposal.
"This could all go horribly wrong."
"Yes, it could," Steiger conceded. "But if we are to go anywhere, we need their food. It's well over 75 miles back to the third."
"I can't believe I'm actually considering this madness with only 82 men.
Tiro shook his head.
"Are you set on this path, sir? We could always try to forage."
"We are being pursued," Steiger said flatly. "We may not be allowed time to forage properly. Besides, I kind of like the idea of the enemy doing us the courtesy of feeding us."
"Excuse me, sir."
Steiger looked over at the scout, who had been intently studying the enemy's camp.
"Go ahead," Steiger said.
"Looks like there are some men under guard down there, about a dozen."
Bren pointed off to the side of the enemy camp.
Steiger had missed it, as they were on the other side of a large white tent and easily overlooked. He could see two guards standing around a small group sitting upon the ground.
"Well, that settles it then. We attack," Steiger said. "I don't want to leave our boys in their hands, even if they are only auxiliaries."
"Yes, sir," said Tiro.
"All right, let's get back to the men. We have a lot to do."
Chapter 3 Steiger took a knee so that the veritable sea of wheat came to shoulder level. Only his head showed. It was nearing midnight, and the moon, obscured by clouds, was almost directly overhead, providing barely enough light to see the three men before him. The men had also taken a knee. In the darkness, their faces looked serious, grim even. Directly behind them, 40 legionaries waited. To avoid being prematurely discovered, they were lying prone, the wheat field concealing their presence from the enemy camp barely 40 yards distant.
"Just as soon as Corporal Varys returns," Steiger said in a near whisper, half turning and pointing, "you three are to head for that watchfire there, the closest one. Light as many tents as possible. The weatherproofing on the canvas should act as an accelerant. Understand me?"
They nodded their understanding.
"We won't be able to get them all, sir," Legionary Ajax said in a hushed tone.
"That's right," Steiger said. "You won't be able to light them all, but any you do fire will likely cause the men from those tents to emerge unharmed and in a confused state. We will be right on your heels. Focus on getting as many as you can before the fighting starts."
"Yes, sir,"
Ajax said.
"What happens if we can't get back to the line?"
"There will be a lot of confusion," Steiger said, fully understanding their concern. For a short time, they would be on their own. When Sergeant Tiro with the rest of the company hits from the far side of the camp, the enemy should be reduced to a complete panic. If you can't make it back to us, stick together and stay alive until we can get to you. It shouldn't take long."
Steiger paused a heartbeat.
"Any further questions?"
Ajax and the other two shook their heads. Steiger motioned them down and out of view. He lowered himself just enough that he could still see the enemy camp. Several watchfires lit the darkness, shining a wavering yellow light across the white canvas of the communal tents, which had been pitched in neat, ordered rows. Without the warmth of the sun, the temperature had dropped considerably.
It was a sign that fall was just around the corner. As mute evidence to the chill in the air, an enemy sentry with his back to Steiger in the wheat field stood before one of the watchfires that bordered the camp. The man appeared to be warming his hands. It was an unforgivable breach, and had he been a legionary, the punishment would have been quite severe. A sentry's duty was to keep a lookout, no matter the weather conditions. Attending to one's own comfort was secondary. As it was, Steiger was glad that discipline was lacking amongst their enemy. It would make Bren, Varys, and Aronis' job that much easier. A shadow rose behind the sentry, and in a heartbeat, the two merged into one form. It happened so fast that at first Steiger was not quite sure it occurred. There was a jerking movement, followed by one dragging the other back out into the darkness, disappearing from view. The silencing of the enemy sentries had begun. Steiger stood, crouched over, and worked his way to four men who were lying prone just feet away. The men looked up at Steiger's approach. He took a knee to keep from being spotted. "It should be soon," Steiger informed them. "Any questions?"
"No, sir," Legionary Karata said. "As soon as you order the advance, we make for the mules and move them as fast as we can away from the camp. If the fight becomes contested, we will strike out to the southern end of the valley. There we will wait for the company to catch up."
"Excellent," Steiger said, pleased. If the attack failed and he was unable to overwhelm and take the camp, at least they could use the enemy's mules as walking rations. "See that no matter what happens, we get those mules. We're out of food, and I for one would rather eat them than go hungry."
"We will, sir," Karata said confidently, then cocked his head to one side. "You ever have mule before, sir?"
"No. I can't say that I've had the pleasure."
"Don't rightly know about it being a pleasure, sir," Karata said. "Tough and stringy muleys. You might want to remind the boys before they go in, sir. It could motivate them a little."
"I'll consider it," Steiger said, amused.
"Think they might have beef or salt pork over in that camp?"
Legionary Barris said.
"I've had enough salt pork to last me a lifetime," Steiger said. "I'm just hoping they have some bacon, beef, and perhaps coffee."
The four men chuckled as Steiger turned and headed back to the fire party. As he arrived, Varys came hustling back, emerging like a wraith from the darkness. The corporal was wearing only his service tunic. There was a large dark stain on his chest, nearly dead center.
"All set, sir," Varys said between heavy breaths. "We've taken out all of the sentries. Lazy bastards were not even doing their duty proper-like. Bren and Aronis are on their way to alert Sergeant Tiro."
"Good work." Steiger clapped the corporal on the shoulder. "Now get your kit on. Follow just as soon as you're able."
"Yes, sir."
Varys stepped over toward where the assault line was waiting, hidden amongst the wheat, as Steiger turned to the fire party.
"It's time," Steiger said. "Good fortune."
The three men came to their feet. Careful not to make too much sound, they began moving toward the camp. Each carried an unlit makeshift torch, the end of which was thick with dried grass that had been tightly interwoven. Steiger watched them for a fraction of a second, then moved back to his assault force and retrieved his shield from where he had left it.
"On your feet!"
Steiger called, just loud enough to carry to his men and no farther. As if rising from the dead, the men stood, appearing where moments before nothing had been visible. They quickly dressed themselves upon one another, a task that was more difficult in the near darkness than it sounded. In short order, they were formed up into an assault line two ranks deep.
"Draw swords!"
The swords came out with a mass hiss. Steiger drew steel. He flexed his left hand, finding a comfortable grip. Without verbalizing the command, he simply pointed toward the enemy camp and began walking. The two ranks followed. The sound of their footfalls was muffled by the wheat that, nearly ready for harvest, grew thick, tall, and golden brown. There was an abrupt clatter as two shields banged loudly together. Steiger felt himself frown. He turned to look, seeking out the careless culprits. A dog somewhere in the sack town to his right began to bark, harsh and loud, drawing Steiger's attention. Another dog joined the first. Steiger cursed silently in frustration. Surely the banging of the shields and the dogs would alert someone in the camp. He ground his teeth as the distance steadily closed. The dogs continued to bark. Steiger took a deep breath and calmed himself. There was nothing he could do. He was committed now. Thoughts of the plan he had settled on, a two-pronged assault, worried at him. Steiger ran everything through his mind again. He, with half of the company, would attack from one side of the camp, while Tiro, with the other half, would hit from the opposite side. They would meet somewhere in the middle. Two fire parties would strike as both assault forces pushed forward. With luck, Steiger hoped it would create a general panic as both prongs went in. Amidst the chaos, Steiger's picked men would make away with the enemy's mule train. Should things go poorly, both he and Tiro would break off the attack. It was so simple, and yet Steiger knew that even the best of plans could go awry. Had he missed anything? He couldn't see that he had. Everything hinged on catching the enemy by surprise. Then he heard a loud, discordant sound. It took Steiger a moment to realize it was snoring, coming from the tents ahead. Steiger and his assault force were less than 10 feet from the nearest tent. They were so close that even if someone sounded the alarm, it would be too late for the enemy. Steiger said a quick prayer to the High Father, asking for the assault to be successful. Before he could finish, fire sprouted from a tent to his left, leaping up into the air with a suddenness that was shocking. Another tent to the right flared into brilliance, weatherproofing oil burning furiously. A third blazed, flames leaping hungrily up into the air, then a fourth, before the screams and cries of alarm began. Men dressed only in their grey service tunics began pouring out of the communal tents. "Charge!" Steiger shouted and broke into a run. The assault force behind him gave a great shout, and the sound of pounding feet followed as he ran the last few feet into the camp. Steiger felt the intense heat of a burning tent as it flashed by. Then he was amongst the confused enemy, spilling forth from another tent that was nearly fully engulfed. Steiger bashed his shield into a startled man, his momentum knocking the man back and into the burning tent, which collapsed over him. Steiger jabbed outward, stabbing at another who, unarmed, had turned to run. Steiger felt his blade punch deeply into the lower back, sword grating against bone. Screaming, the man fell forward to the ground and off the blade. Steiger stabbed downward, striking his enemy in the back of the neck, ensuring he would stay down. A fraction of a second later, legionaries were rushing by, mercilessly stabbing and jabbing at the confused enemy. Steiger straightened back up and looked around. It was pure chaos. Tents were burning, men were screaming, yelling, calling out oaths. The sweet, sickly smell of blood was on the air, mingling with smoke and the stench of an open latrine. The man Steiger had bashed into the burning tent pulled himself to his feet, his tunic ablaze. Horrified, Steiger watched as he ran screaming into the darkness and out into the field, leaving a trail of burning wheat in his wake. A massed shout came from the other side of the camp as the other half of the assault went in. The clash of sword on sword dragged Steiger's attention to his left. A small group of men had emerged from a tent that had escaped the fire. Though not armored, they were armed. These were quickly set upon by Steiger's legionaries. The group fought desperately. It was an unequal contest, as they were badly outnumbered. Steiger's men used their shields to deflect as they advanced, steadily pushing the group back deeper into the camp. Steiger stepped over the body of the man he had killed. The ground was slick with blood, and he almost slipped. Edging around to the side of the group of defenders, Steiger closed with the enemy, shield up. A legionary to his left jabbed out and caught one of the enemy under the arm. It was a shallow strike, but all it took was 2 inches from a short sword to mortally wound. The man fell back, clutching his armpit. The legionary pressed forward. 2 more of the men joined the determined bunch, taking the wounded man's position and striking back at the legionary. Steiger saw what he took to be a sergeant standing behind the defender's line, calling out orders in Riven, or perhaps even attempting to rally the enemy to him. Steiger did not speak their language, but understood that he had to break this group before the enemy's defenses became more organized. "Push!" Steiger shouted as loud as he could, and the legionaries with him shoved forward. There was a loud thunk as Steiger's shield boss was struck a powerful blow. He almost dropped the shield as the pain of the strike was communicated to his arm behind. Steiger's fingers tingled numbly. Reaching around his shield, Steiger jabbed forward, his sword sliding into the belly of an enemy soldier, even as his shield was struck again with a solid-sounding thump. It was all he could do to simply hang on to his shield. Yelling incoherently, Steiger bashed his shield forward, throwing his shoulder into it, and felt a solid hit as it connected with the body. Suddenly there was no more resistance, and the man he had hit crashed backwards to the ground. A legionary was on the stunned enemy in a flash, stabbing viciously downward. "Push!" Steiger shouted. The men with him shoved forward, and under intense pressure, the defenders fell back farther. Steiger took a step forward, intent upon advancing with his men. He tripped and staggered to a knee, almost falling. Badly off balance, he planted the bottom of his shield in the ground to keep from tumbling forward. By the time he regained his feet, the fight around him was over, and the group of defenders broken. The legionaries who had been with him just moments before had pushed forward, leaving their lieutenant behind. Steiger glanced down and saw he had tripped over a tense guide rope. Chest heaving, Steiger took a moment to stop and check his surroundings. He remembered Tiro's advice a few weeks before about officers needing to keep their heads. He surveyed the scene around him. The confused fighting had made its way deeper into the enemy's camp. Figures struggled in the darkness, broken only by the flickering sentry fire or the blazing of a tent. There were bodies seemingly everywhere, all wearing service tunics of the enemy and without armor. Most were still, but some writhed in agony. It was an astonishing sight. Steiger could see none of his legionaries down. This wasn't a battle. It was a slaughter, pure and simple. For a moment, Steiger felt sympathy for those who had fallen before the blades of the Seventh. Then he remembered the razed town and the civilians' bodies out in the field, being feasted over by scavengers. His anger returned, and his heart hardened.
"Sir?"
Steiger turned to see Varus hustling into the firelight. He was securing his helmet one-handed. Steiger read concern in the corporal's eyes.
"Are you all right, sir?"
"I am." Steiger turned back toward the action and made his way deeper into the camp. The sounds of the fighting and chaos were steadily dying off, though he could still hear some fighting on the other side of the camp. A number of dark forms were running into the darkness, fleeing before the vengeful legionaries. Toward the center of the camp, the sound of serious fighting erupted. Steiger quickened his pace. As he neared, he saw around 15 of the enemy struggling against a greater number of legionaries, with more joining the fray every second. All of the enemy were unarmored. An officer, judging by his fine tunic, was directing the efforts of those who stood firm with him. Fighting alongside his men, the officer cut a brave and fearless figure. For a moment, Steiger admired the man's courage. There would be no escape for them, Steiger realized. They were nearly surrounded. Shields out to the front, Steiger's legionaries were pressing tightly in on the defenders. Steiger stood back and watched the action. The enemy's defense was doomed. With each passing moment, their numbers dwindled as they fell to the unrelenting short swords that jabbed out from behind the protection of the shields. Then, under a flurry of strikes, the officer was brutally cut down.
"Hold!"
Steiger shouted as the last of the defenders threw down their weapons and raised their hands in surrender. A legionary caught up in the moment plunged his sword deep into the belly of one attempting to give up. The man gave an agonized scream before falling to the ground. The legionary stabbed downward, the scream abruptly cut off.
"Hold!"
Steiger shoved the legionary roughly with his shield to get the man's attention.
"I said bloody hold!"
"Sorry, sir," the man said, and stepped back.
"Corporal Varus," Stinger called. "Varus, where are you?"
"Here, sir."
The corporal had been following.
"Secure those prisoners," Steiger ordered. There were four still on their feet.
"They may have intelligence, and spread the word to accept any further surrenders."
"Yes, sir."
Varus began shouting orders, and several legionaries stepped forward, swords held at the ready, closing in on the prisoners. Another sheathed his sword and began gathering up discarded weapons. Steiger wondered how the fighting on Tiro's end of the camp was going, where the prisoners from the auxiliary cohort were being held. One of Tiro's objectives was to free them. A mass cheer in the direction of the far side of the camp snapped Steiger's head around. He relaxed. The other prong of the assault had broken the last knot of resistance. A handful of the enemy were running into the darkness just as fast as they could go. With that, all sounds of resistance ceased. Steiger looked about him. At least 10 tents were burning furiously enough that he could feel their heat from several yards away. The enemy's camp was in complete shambles, bodies lying everywhere. He took a deep breath and let it out slowly. The assault from beginning to end had taken less than 10 minutes. In the process, thanks to his enemy's carelessness, he had wrecked an entire company and with an inferior force. After days of being hotly pursued, it felt good to strike back. A grin snaked its way onto his face. The enemy's camp, including the supplies he badly needed, was his.
Chapter 4 "The fire is spreading." There was a sour note to Tiro's tone.
"I know."
Steiger rubbed his chin as he watched the fire in the field slowly spread outward, greedily eating away at the golden brown wheat. The fire heated the cool night air, almost uncomfortably so. Nearly a quarter of the field to the west of the camp was burning. Steiger mentally berated himself. If he had only killed that man, instead of letting him dash madly out into the wheat. Why had he not finished him? Steiger knew the answer to that. He had been horrified by what he had done. In a moment of pure shock, he had simply watched, as the burning man ran out into the ready-to-harvest wheat.
"It was your idea to use fire," Tiro said.
Steiger glanced over to the sergeant, deeply unhappy.
"I don't recall any objections on your part. In fact, at the time, you seemed to think it was a marvelous idea."
"With hindsight," Tiro said heavily, "I wish we hadn't decided to torch some of the tents."
"Retrospection is a bitch," Steiger said, and turned back to his company. The men were hastily unloading the mules with whatever supplies they could lay their hands on. They had formed several orderly lines and were handing food bags from one man to the next and up to the mules. There was an urgency to their work that spoke of the growing danger of being caught amidst the growing blaze.
"Sir," Varus called, waving a hand to gain Steiger's attention. The corporal was standing in front of a large tent.
"You may want to see this."
Curious, Steiger moved to join Varus. Tiro followed. The enemy camp was in shambles, with smouldering and collapsed tents breaking up the neatly ordered lines. Discarded equipment and debris lay everywhere, amidst the bodies.
"What is it?"
"A map, sir," Varus said, and ducked into the tent. Steiger bent down and followed, with Tiro on his heels.
The tent clearly belonged to the Riven captain. It smelled a little musty, but there was also the trace of scented oils on the air. Steiger ran a finger along the fabric of the wall. The tent was made of good material and about a quarter larger than Steiger's own. An oil lamp hung from a central support pole, shedding its pale yellow light across the interior. A patterned rug covered the ground. Steiger studied it for a moment and judged it inferior to his own. There was no time to bring it with them as a prize, however. Loading the food was the priority. Steiger worried that they might not even have the time needed to complete that. He pulled his eyes from the rug and scanned the interior of the tent. There was a camp table, a cot, a small locked chest, and two large trunks. An empty wine bottle lay on the rug next to the cot. He reflected for a moment that the officer who had owned this tent lived not much differently than himself. And yet, the other was now fodder for worms. It was a sobering thought. Legionary Asus was bent over a map that had been spread out on the camp table. Besides being the standard-bearer, he was one of the few who could read, and as such, Tiro and Varus regularly tapped him for special duties. Steiger stepped up to him as Varus moved aside.
"I found this map, sir," Asus said proudly, and took a slight step back for his officer.
The map was a large one, and clearly a camp scribe copy. It detailed the surrounding terrain for at least 100 miles around. A series of notes had been made on the map, using a charcoal pencil. Steiger could not read the Riven script, but he could guess at its meaning. He looked over at Asus.
"Good work finding this."
"Thank you, sir,"
Asus said, puffing up at the compliment.
He moved aside so that Tiro could come up next to Steiger.
"This one appears to be Cora Tall," Steiger said, pointing at a circled town and fort. He shot Tiro a quick glance and pulled out his own map. Steiger laid it next to the one on the table.
"See this road?" Steiger swung his finger over a few inches to the west.
"And this river?"
"I think we crossed it 2 days ago, the one we backtracked along, to throw off our pursuers."
"I think you are right, sir," Tiro said, leaning over the table to get a better look.
The sergeant traced a charcoal line with his finger. The line ended in an arrow point. Several other towns and the outlines of forts were circled along the line's path. Tiro looked over at Steiger.
"Do you think this is their plan of march?"
"I do," Steiger said, meeting the sergeant's eyes before turning back to the map.
"I wish our map covered the area to the south. It would allow us to match up both and be sure of exactly where we are on the enemy's map."
"If this is their line of march," Tiro traced the line again, "it looks like the enemy is planning to plunge deep into the Legion's rear to strike at our communications. See how it follows this long valley road, paralleling this ridge, before turning west to this north-south road here? I could be wrong, but I believe this may be the one the Legion marched north on."
Tiro paused and pointed along the same road where it intersected a river to the west and north of the arrow point.
"I think this might be the crossing over the Hanna, sir. 3rd Legion's encampment would be here, just south of the river. The other 3 legions pushed north over the river weeks ago, pursuing the Riven army. There's no telling how far north they've gone."
Steiger felt an icy sensation run down his spine. He sucked in a deep breath as he considered what Tiro had just said.
"Don't you think that's a little far for a simple raid?"
Steiger looked at Tiro and pointed to the arrow on the enemy's map.
The sergeant followed Steiger's finger.
"Heavy infantry and cavalry is no simple raid, sir," Tiro said, then paled and slowly looked over at Steiger.
"What if there are more?" Steiger finished, as silence settled inside the tent. Outside, the commotion of loading the mule train continued unabated. Steiger drummed his fingers on the table. He had no direct evidence other than the map, but it appeared to him that the enemy was perhaps coming in strength, diving far to the southeast, well around the Imperial Army to the west. If he was correctly judging the map, the Riven intended to eventually turn west and strike far to the rear. Should they prove successful, they would cut off the legions that were even now pushing northward toward the Riven capital. It was a brilliant move, one that would see the legion supply line severed. Why else send heavy infantry so far from the front? It was the only explanation that made any sense to him.
"This could be the advance party of a more substantial force," Steiger said.
"You may be right, sir," Tiro said.
Varys spoke up, moving to the other side of the table. "Which could mean that we're in the path of whatever else is coming down the road intending to push south."
Steiger glanced up at the corporal and chewed his lip.
"How many prisoners did we take?"
12, Varys said.
"Do any of them speak common?"
"One that we know of," Varys said. "He was begging for his life to be spared. The others just jabbered at us. Couldn't make any sense of it."
Steiger nodded, thinking rapidly. "How many of our men did we free?"
7 auxiliaries, Tiro said, unhappily. "The Riven had taken more, but they were torturing our boys and then killing them off one at a time when they finished with their fun."
"Then," Steiger said slowly, "they were not taking prisoners for slaves."
"It would seem not."
Tiro cleared his throat.
"They must have been looking for information."
"Right," Steiger said, turning to Varys. "Question that prisoner and find out what he knows."
"Yes, sir," Varys said. "I will get right on it."
The corporal ducked out of the tent, moving with a purpose. Steiger rubbed his tired eyes, feeling a headache coming on.
"What else did you find, Asus?" Tiro asked.
"The company's strongbox," the legionary said, pointing at the small locked chest in a corner. It appeared quite sturdy. Asus handed a key to Tiro.
"The officer's purse is in that trunk, along with personal possessions and..."
He lifted a small canvas bag off the floor and handed it over to Tiro, a sour expression on his face, as if he were parting with gold.
"I found this, Sergeant."
Tiro took the bag and looked inside. He put his nose to it and breathed in deeply, before letting it out in a pleased breath. After a moment, he whistled. There was a smile on his face as he looked over.
"The good stuff,"
Tiro handed the bag to Steiger. You will want to claim this for yourself, sir.
What is it?
Steiger asked, peering into the bag.
Tobacco?
The good stuff, Tiro affirmed again. Eastern tobacco. Nothing finer.
I don't smoke,
Steiger said, wondering why Tiro was making such a big deal out of a bag of tobacco.
Now that is a crying shame,
Tiro said seriously, then grinned.
Sir, I promise you on this count, we will fix that oversight later. There is nothing better to help one relax and think over his day than a fine pipe.
The sergeant furrowed his brow and looked to the standard bearer.
Say, Asus, did you find a pipe?
I did, sir, Asus said, and opened the trunk that held personal possessions. He took out a bone pipe and handed it over to Steiger. Steiger examined the pipe. An elephant was carved into one side and a fearsome-looking boar on the other. He recognized an expensive piece when he saw it. The officer who had owned it, and this tent, had clearly been a man of some means.
You will want to keep that too, sir, Tiro said. Trust me, it's too fine for the men.
Steiger set the pipe and bag down on the table. He gathered up the enemy's map and folded it carefully, then did the same with his own and placed both in a pocket.
Sergeant, Steiger said, see that the strongbox and purse make it onto the mule train. We will treat it as prize money.
Yes, sir, Tiro said. The men will like that very much, sir.
Steiger nodded and glanced around the tent.
A large portion of the money would go to the Legion, a more modest percentage to Steiger, Tiro, and Varys. The rest would be dispersed to the men's pensions and reserved for their retirement, should they survive long enough to reach it. A small amount would be paid out in cash at the Legion's quarterly salary payment, which in turn would likely be spent as rapidly as possible on wine and women.
See that the tobacco and pipe are set aside for me, Steiger said to Asus.
Yes, sir.
We have a mule reserved for your thing, sir, Tiro said. It will be there later.
Good. Steiger scanned the interior of the tent once more, nodding to himself with satisfaction, and then stepped back into the night. The fire in the field had spread rapidly in the short time he had spent in the tent. With what he had just learned, Steiger cursed himself yet again. The burning wheat was lighting up much of the valley. He had inadvertently signaled his position, for the glow of the firelight surely reflected off the clouds above. Worse, he judged the blaze would soon spread throughout the rest of the valley. He glanced over his newly acquired supply train. The legionaries were working frantically to load the 20-plus mules they had captured. There was a bright side, however. The fire meant that the ready-to-harvest wheat would be denied to the enemy. Steiger almost smiled at that comforting thought. Almost. Tiro emerged behind Steiger, looking over the fire, and then spat on the ground.
Wouldn't you know it? To get back to the third, we need to go west, and now the only way open to us is east.
Steiger closed his eyes in frustration. The sergeant was right. They would have to move east, climb out of the valley, and then make their way south, skirting the valley before turning northwest. It would take time, which Steiger felt he did not have.
Nothing about this mission has gone right, Steiger said with irritation.
He reached into a pocket and pulled out his orders. With the garrison destroyed and the man he had come to find likely dead, the orders were now moot. He walked over to the nearest fire and tossed them in. The paper caught, flaring brilliantly, before folding in upon itself and blackening, edges curling back slowly.
"Don't you know yet, sir?"
Tiro said, coming up behind him.
"Nothing ever goes right for the infantry."
Steiger glanced over at the sergeant, his frustration warring with amusement.
"Sergeant," Steiger said, "since I've joined the 7th Company, I don't think much has gone right."
"Oh," Tiro said, "I'm not so sure about that, sir. Once you came along, plenty has gone right for the 7th."
"Let's go see the prisoners," Steiger said, feeling comfortable with Tiro's praise. "I would look upon my enemy."
They walked over to the prisoners, who were sitting under a heavy guard. Across the camp, bodies lay where they had fallen, requiring Steiger and Tiro to step around and over the dead. The ground was slick and muddy with drying blood. The company would be pulling out shortly, and Steiger saw no need to care for the enemy's fallen.
"How are our casualties coming?"
"I've ordered a litter rigged for Legionary Cavius," Tiro said. "He should survive, if that leg wound of his doesn't fester.
Our other two are walking wounded with minor cuts only. Bren stitched them up. Shame we don't have a doctor or surgeon's mate to care for Cavius. I'd feel better about him if we did, sir. Steiger nodded as they made their way up to the prisoners, who looked a miserable bunch. They were being kept on the western side of the camp, the burning wheat fields only yards away.